Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. It's rather odd when you think about it. Having a Sunday where the name is a command, rejoice in the Lord always, again I will say rejoice. And so we gather and we hear the readings, and then you start to listen closely, and here's John the Baptist, and he's in prison. And even more than that, you know that he will eventually be killed for his faithfulness to the Lord. But God does say, rejoice in the Lord always. So that means that God calls you to rejoice, not just in times when there is great joy, but even when you're in prison facing death for the sake of the word of God. So it is, the Lord says through the pen of St. Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And that's the thing about rejoicing, then. It draws you outside of yourself. And it situates or places your joy in something or someone else. And there's a problem when you forget this and make joy into something you experience or something akin to being happy or feeling of excitement. Now, to be sure, there are those things. They go along with joy. But rejoicing and joy are far deeper and meaningful than something that is a high where you're 1 minute and then gone the next. In prison, Matthew records that John sent his disciples to ask a question of Jesus. And you're told the question along with the response. Hear again these words. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" Over the years, people have debated whether John was doubting that Jesus was the Christ. Is this question at this point at least for his sake or the sake of his other disciples? Now, traditionally, it's been held that John was not doubting, but this was for his disciples to hear. All the way, Luther, Augustine, all the way back. The vicar and I were having a discussion about this. I have a friend, every year we argue on this Sunday of the church year, it's our tradition now. I say he didn't doubt, he says he did. And so before the service today, I texted him his yearly reminder that I'm right and he's wrong. Gotta do that. Regardless though, if John had doubts or none, he still benefited from the answer that Jesus gave. Jesus proclaimed to the disciples of John who he is as the promised Messiah. And in that answer that was put before him in that question, it's pointing to Jesus. And there's something in it. Joy. So Matthew goes on when he wrote, "And Jesus answered him, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" You see, Jesus was and is who he said he was, and he was and is who the prophets said he would be. So in those words, in that answer, God's faithfulness is shown. The Lord kept his word. He fulfilled his promises. The Lord, who was the promised one, would deliver his people, and he had come. He is the one who confirmed who he is with miracles, such as giving sight to the blind, giving mobility to the lame, hearing to the deaf, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, and preaching the good news that the poor in spirit would inherit the kingdom of God, which is where true riches, eternal riches, are found. For John the Baptist, this is what he had been preaching. He was the one promised Elijah to come. He was pointing people to Jesus, calling them to repentance, calling them to turn from their sin and to fix their eyes on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was pointing them to the one who even raises the dead, as Jesus himself would lay down his own life and raise it up again on the third day. And for John, who would die because of what he said for the sake of God, that's reason to rejoice. A king may kill you and cut off your head, but Jesus, who you preach, he gives life. So when you hear these words of God spoken to you, what does this all mean? Where are you to look? Well, follow the example of John and his disciples. And what is that? Well, listen to Jesus. What does he say? Well, he says to you, you are baptized into Christ, and everything that was promised by the prophets, everything that was fulfilled in Jesus, everything that he was pointing to, everything that Jesus has done, that all belongs to you. And that means everything. In Romans 5, a pivotal chapter of that epistle, God says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation." So that's what forms your thinking, your understanding, not just of joy and rejoicing, but it gives it to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. God commands you to do that. But he also gives you the reason and substance of that joy. Fixing your eyes on Christ crucified and risen, you see that your sin is forgiven. You see that you stand righteous before the throne of God. And that's first and foremost, and that defines every aspect of your life as you go through this world. It's no wonder, then, when you look at a word like rejoice in the New Testament, its usage, it's often in the context of what? Experiencing times of suffering. Romans 5 also says this about rejoicing. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So listen to the words. God calls you to look to Christ, to see what you have now, and you have it, and what awaits you in the future. So as we're Christians in this world looking toward the last day, this is vitally important. The devil is prowling around. He wants you to find joy in the things of this world, which will pass away and not remain. As Jesus told you in the gospel reading last week when he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." And then do you remember what Jesus said right after that? Jesus said, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap." Because Jesus knows. He knows the dangers that you face. Your sinful flesh, which is grass, as the Old Testament reading teaches, wants to find joy in yourself too, and that's just as deadly. That false joy is always pursuing. It's never satisfied. It's always looking for something bigger, something more pleasurable. Joy is held before you like a carrot, always out of reach, and your life becomes consumed. It becomes enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. And before you know it, you've run away from Christ and where true joy and true freedom are really found. But even in the church, God's people are tempted to find joy, confidence, and hope in the latest fads, the latest gimmicks of the world, to not be content and find joy in God's word and in that faith and practice which has been handed down to her through the ages. So it leads to this view of Christ, his word, and his church that thinks it needs to suit your needs in order to be relevant to your life, or that God is the one that has to entice you in some way, like some salesman desperate for your business, or a woman trying to turn herself into someone she's not to think what she thinks is more attractive, all according to worldly standards, so that somehow she'll find some elusive joy in a man who loves her, not for who she is, but who she has turned herself into be. But it's nothing new. Jesus asked a similar question to the people about when they went out to the wilderness to hear John the Baptist preach. Did they want a show? Did they want to be entertained? Did they want to listen to a prophet, and more than a prophet, the one promised by God in the line of Elijah to prepare the way of the Son of God? So listen to the Lord. Heed his call. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Know who you are as God's word confronts you in your sin. Don't be fooled. Stay awake. Go running to Christ for forgiveness and rejoicing in what Christ has done for you and the new life he gives you, for the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh tempt you to run away from God and turn God's word into something that it isn't. Something that you think might be the unloving bad guy who doesn't care about you or your life. Say no to those things. Your new man rejoices in God and rejoices in his word. Because at the end of the day, when you give in to temptation, wherever and whatever form it may come across, you'll find there is no real lasting joy. So God calls you and all people to repentance because he desires that you live. He desires that you have and now find and know true joy found in Christ. Jesus said in the gospel reading, "Blessed is the one who's not offended by me." So as we are Christians in this world, rejoicing in God, rejoicing in his word, rejoicing in the things of God, if Jesus and God's word offends us, we're the problem, not God. If you don't find joy in the word of God, in the faithful proclamation of it, in the faithful practice of it in the church, God is not the problem. Joy isn't found in yourself. Joy is found and known when you look outside of yourself, when you look to Christ. Will you always see this as joy? Well, maybe not in an emotional sense, as the world describes joy. But when you see Jesus, when you see all that he has done for you, all that is your salvation freely, fully given, simply out of his grace and mercy towards you, you see that you have been given eternal life, you see that he will guard and keep you in this forever, wow, there's lasting joy in that. And that's your baptismal life. Live out your baptism, which daily drowns that old man and lives in the new life you have been given. So God calls you to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And here's the thing, too. You know, the more you look outside of yourself, the more you look to Christ, the more joy you see and find yourself rejoicing in every circumstance. It happens, and God does grant you to see this joy in the faith that he's given to you. God's word becomes something for you as you go through this life, too. It's a comfort, because you see God's faithfulness to his promises that he's made to you, and you know that each day the Lord is faithful and he will always be faithful. You start to define your life by what God says, and if called to suffer at all, even death for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, so be it. You do it rejoicing every step of the way until your last breath on this earth, because you know you will be rejoicing before the throne of God forever with all of God's saints standing next to you, rejoicing with you. Take heart, dear people of God, this day. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. People of God, it's Advent, the third Sunday of Advent. The Lord has come. He comes to you now and he is coming again. The day for rejoicing is here. It's right now. Jesus has redeemed you by his blood and you are an heir of eternal life. Always remember that. Cling to it. Christ is yours. You are his forever. What a joy it is to know this and to have this and to confess this in the world. You are a Christian. So in times of great happiness, rejoice. In times of great sorrow, rejoice. In the humdrum day-to-day things of this life, rejoice. When death stares at you with its beady little eyes and your life on this side of the grave is coming to an end, stare back at it as one who is baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, and rejoice. Why do you rejoice? And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." That's why you rejoice, and whom you find your joy. Jesus has come. Rejoice in him. He's here now. Listen to him. Take and eat his very body and blood given and shed for you. Rejoice in him and rejoice as you look forward to that day when he comes again, not in the loneliness of a manger or hidden in means, but when he comes again in great glory as only he can do. Rejoice in the Lord always. He is at hand. People of God, rejoice. And come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.